Good morning to you all once again, and grace and peace to you, excuse me, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been spending a lot of time after the new year looking at different aspects of Jesus' life and his ministry as he makes his way from his baptism to the cross. Last week we looked at one of Jesus' most famous teachings, the parable of the sower, and we saw how important it is that our lives are like good soil, so that we can receive the word of God as it's planted in our lives, so that we can grow in our faith and produce fruit for the kingdom. We need to be deeply rooted in God's word. For this week, I thought we might take a look at an encounter that Jesus had with an individual shortly before he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I found it kind of amazing because I looked back over all my records. I'm in my 12th year here, and I realized I'd never preached on this passage. Simple little passage, wonderful little story, but I've never preached on it before. Most of us are probably familiar with this man's story. It's one of those that's often taught to the children of the church and has its own little song to go along with it. Of course, I'm talking about the story of Zacchaeus. Now, if you know the children's song about Zacchaeus, I want you to sing it along with me. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." Okay, that's the sermon. We'll see y'all. No, I'm just kidding. How many of you sung that song as a child yourself, or maybe were taught it in Sunday school, or maybe you've taught it to some of our kids in teaching Sunday school? That song very basically encapsulates the passage that I'll be sharing from. But the song doesn't go into the reaction of Zacchaeus after he has his encounter with Jesus. And his response to Jesus is probably more important than Jesus telling him that he was coming to his house that day. All right, they're both probably just as important parts of the story. Why don't we turn there together this morning? Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And I would ask that you would please stand with me as you're able for the reading from God's Word. This morning I'll be reading Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, it's found on page 743. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too was a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Oh, Lord, as we look at this probably very familiar story to most of us, Lord, I pray that your Spirit might give us eyes to see it anew, that you would guide and direct, Lord, my words and our thoughts, that we would be drawn closer to you, Lord, through the study of your word, and that as always, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together would be pleasing and acceptable to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you have been to the doctor in the last year? Let's see those hands. Almost that. Wow, a couple didn't raise their hands. That's good. I'm glad you didn't have to. Okay. Most of us at one time or another have found it necessary to go and see a doctor. You haven't been feeling well for a few days and didn't seem to be getting any better, so you thought, well, it's time I go see the doctor. And you go to the doctor to be healed from whatever might be troubling you, right? But sometimes the family doctor can't diagnose the cause of your problem, and he might send you to a specialist. The specialist will then run a number of tests to try and determine what the issue is. You went to the doctor originally with the expectation that he could somehow help overcome your sickness. However, you also know that the doctor is not always able to help. Sometimes the doctor can't do anything. All of us have probably heard of someone who received the sad news from their doctor saying, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. There's nothing left that I can do. Think about that, because in some ways, this is the news that Zacchaeus heard from the society in which he lived. Zacchaeus was considered by all the Jewish people to be a hopeless case. It was thought that nothing could be done to help him. And though Zacchaeus wasn't physically sick, in fact, he was probably quite fit as he was able to climb up into that tree. But Zacchaeus was spiritually sick. The Jewish religious system of that day had no hope for people like Zacchaeus. The scribes and the Pharisees looked on him as if he had some incurable disease. And why was that? Well, Zacchaeus was a tax collector for the Roman Empire. And he was no ordinary tax collector. No, he was the chief tax collector for that region. And he was a very wealthy man. And he was not a very well-liked man in his region. Even today, nobody really likes paying taxes, and we don't especially like the ones who collect the taxes, right? How many of you have the IRS on your Christmas card list? Nobody, right? Back then, especially for the Jewish people, the tax collector was seen as a persona non grata, a person who was no longer favored or welcomed. And that's because the tax collector didn't work for them or have their best interest at heart. No, the tax collector worked for the Roman government and had their best interest at heart. The Romans had military control over Israel, and they employed Jewish people to help collect their taxes. And to be a tax collector for the Roman government, you had to actually bid to get the position, kind of like being at an auction. And the position would go to the highest bidder. Now, why would people bid to become a tax collector? It's because if they got that position, they knew they would be assured of becoming very wealthy over time. And they would become wealthy by collecting more taxes than the Roman government required. And the Romans didn't care a bit if this went on, right? All they cared about was receiving what they thought were the appropriate taxes for the amount of people that were living in each city. Anything over and above that amount that the tax collector could collect, he could simply keep for his own. And this practice went on for years. That's why the Jewish religious leaders would equate tax collectors to sinners. We see them accuse Jesus of eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. We see that phrase a number of times in the Gospels. And that was not a good thing to be accused of, according to the Jewish people. Okay, this is who Zacchaeus was. He was a rich man who had accumulated his riches in a very unscrupulous way. And for the religious leaders of the day, he was a man who would not be worthy of the salvation that God offered to the Jewish people. He was a lawbreaker. He was stealing from his own people. And according to their traditions, he had turned his back on their faith. They would have seen actually the rich young ruler that had approached Jesus about what he had to do to inherit eternal life in the previous chapter. They would have looked at him as one who probably had a better chance of salvation than Zacchaeus did, because he had supposedly followed all the laws of Moses, and the religious leaders would have loved to hear that statement. So Jesus told that rich young ruler, he said, he needed to sell everything, give it to the poor, and then come and follow him. But we know that that man walked away sad because he wouldn't give up his great wealth. Remember that when we get to the end of this passage about Zacchaeus. So that's who Zacchaeus was, and we're told that Zacchaeus was also a short man, right? That's what we sing in that song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was, to put it in today's terms, vertically challenged. The text doesn't say how short he was, but in his driver's license picture, you could see his feet. I'm just kidding. He didn't have a driver's license. But just to set the context again, we've seen that as Jesus and his disciples traveled from town to town, large crowds would follow them, or large crowds would come out whenever they hear that Jesus is coming to town. And that's what we see happening here. Jesus and his disciples are entering the city of Jericho, and the people are lining the streets to see him. Word is spread about his teaching, his healings, his casting out of demons, the feeding of the multitude that we looked at a few weeks ago. People want to see this man who has done all of these things. They're curious about Jesus, and Zacchaeus is curious too. He wants to see who this Jesus is. Now picture the scene with me as the crowds are gathering and Zacchaeus wants to get a look at Jesus. Have you ever been to a parade where people line the streets to see what's coming? The people could be 3, 4, 5 people deep. And children have a really hard time seeing things like parades because, well, they're shorter than adults and they can't see through the crowd. That's why many times you'll see a father with a son or daughter up on their shoulders holding them up so the child can see what's going on. So just picture Zacchaeus, this short little man, maybe trying to make his way through the crowd to get to the front. The people see who he is, and they're not going to let him in, right? Remember, he's not very well liked in this town because of his profession, so nobody's going to give up their place in the front of the crowd so he can get a look at Jesus, and certainly no father there is going to put Zacchaeus up on his shoulders so he can see better. Think about how Zacchaeus probably lived. He most likely didn't have any or at least many friends in town. Isaiah 53, verse 3, was looking ahead to Jesus and described him as being despised and rejected of men. Well, those words could have been written about Zacchaeus as well. Nobody in that town liked him. He had gotten away with becoming very wealthy, and he had gotten caught up in the deceptive power of all that success and wealth. He might have had everything that many people today want according to the world's standards, but he didn't have any friends. He had no real relationships with people. Nobody who truly cared about him. Nobody who was going to invite him over for dinner or who would maybe take him out on the boat fishing. He was probably a very lonely man. And he couldn't get a good look at this Jesus who was coming into town. And since nobody was willing to help him, he decided he would find another way. And he did. Our text tells us that Zacchaeus ran ahead. He ran ahead of the crowd and he found this sycamore tree and he climbed up into it so he could see Jesus as he passed by. Okay? Problem solved. He now had a great view of the street and the whole procession that was now heading his way. And we don't know what was going on in Zacchaeus' heart at this time. Right? It's possible that he had heard about all the things that Jesus had done, how Jesus had healed so many, how he hadn't turned anybody away, and maybe Zacchaeus was thinking that maybe in this Jesus is somebody who might be willing to be his friend. We don't know. It's possible, but we don't really know what was in Zacchaeus' heart at this time in the story. But the text makes it very clear that Zacchaeus is determined to see this man Jesus as he comes into town. And the crowd that had gathered were probably wondering about Jesus as well, right? They'd heard many things about him. Many might have been wondering if he would stop and teach them or maybe offer some type of healing like he'd done in the other towns. They may have wondered if he might even single out one of their more prominent citizens and grace them with his presence for a meal or a meeting of some kind. But Jesus just keeps right on walking, passing everybody by. And Jesus could have very easily just passed by the tree that Zacchaeus was in. In fact, the people of the town wouldn't have been surprised if Jesus had gone to the other side of the road when he got to where Zacchaeus was. That's how they felt about him. But even though Zacchaeus was thought of so poorly in the eyes of the people, he was a precious lost sinner in the eyes of Jesus. Jesus approached the tree where Zacchaeus was, and he looked right up at Zacchaeus. This is the first person that Jesus singles out and speaks to in the city. And what does Jesus say to Zacchaeus? He says, Zacchaeus, you need to come down from that tree because I'm going to stay at your house today. Zacchaeus, I'm coming over to your house. A man who had been rejected by all the people of the city now found acceptance in the person of Jesus Christ. And once Jesus addressed him and told him to come down, our text tells us that Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. Now, Zacchaeus probably hadn't been expecting this. He may have wanted something like this to happen, but in his heart of hearts, he probably never expected Jesus to single him out. And the people of the town, while the people of the town surely didn't expect Jesus to single out a man like Zacchaeus either. Or if Jesus did single Zacchaeus out, the people would have been expecting a message of judgment, a message of condemnation, because that's how they felt about him. But that's not how Jesus approached Zacchaeus at all. Now remember, the townspeople were probably expecting Jesus to single out the leader of the synagogue or maybe the mayor of the town or some religious leaders and say that he wanted to share a meal with them or to discuss theology with them or whatever. But no, Jesus singles out the one man in town that everybody despised, that tax collector Zacchaeus. And we're not told of what happened at Zacchaeus' house between Jesus and Zacchaeus or how long Jesus was there with him. But we are told of the reaction of the people of the town, aren't we? The people began to mutter among themselves that Jesus had gone to be the guest of a sinner. Jesus hadn't chosen one of the fine, upstanding citizens of Jericho to share a meal with. No, he had chosen the man that nobody else would have given the time of day to. So the people muttered and complained because Jesus had chosen to spend his day with a sinner. This shows us the love of God and that he seeks us out while we are still in our sin. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was nothing in us that would have drawn Jesus to us. In fact, our sin, just like Zacchaeus' sin, had separated us from God. But the love of God sought us out, just as the love of God sought out Zacchaeus. Another thing about Zacchaeus that should have made it more difficult to him, for him, I'm sorry, to come to God, was his great wealth. I mentioned earlier that passage in the previous chapter about the rich young ruler asking Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus had told him to go and sell all of your possessions, get rid of it all, give the money to the poor, and then just come and follow me. But that young man had gone away sad because the text says he was very wealthy and his identity was found only in his riches. That's what he valued over and above everything else in his life. In that passage, Jesus went on to explain how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it was for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And we're told in verse 2 of our passage for today that Zacchaeus was very wealthy. He had accumulated a great amount of money, but he had done it all through dishonest ways. And Jesus knew this. And he still sought him out and spent time with Zacchaeus. And this upset the people of the town, right? How can he ignore us like this and spend time with a sinner like that? Maybe all the things we heard about this Jesus were wrong. Maybe he's not the one that everyone is saying that he is. But Jesus here is acting totally in accordance with who he is and why he came. We read this together this morning, but in Mark chapter 2, we see this exact same scenario present itself again. Jesus had called Levi to follow him as one of his disciples. Levi had been a tax collector as well, and Jesus called him right out of his tax booth to come and follow him. And it says that Levi left it all behind to follow Jesus. Levi as well would not have been a very well-liked man in his community. And that evening, Jesus was having dinner at Levi's home, and it says that many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples. And when the teachers of the law, when the Pharisees saw him doing this, they asked Jesus' disciples why Jesus would eat with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus overheard their question. So he answered them and said, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And that's exactly what Jesus was doing here in Luke 19 as he called Zacchaeus to come down out of that tree and have him over to his home. And again, we're not told how long Jesus was at Zacchaeus' house or even what they talked about. But whatever it was that Jesus shared with Zacchaeus, it brought about true repentance in Zacchaeus' heart. Look at his response in verse 8. He says, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." That is true repentance. Repentance involves turning away from sin and turning back to God. Zacchaeus here is turning away from his life of sin. He's even making restitution to anyone that he has wronged in the past. There's a definite turning away from one direction and a turning to another direction here in the heart of Zacchaeus. Now, the law of the Israelites tells us that when money or goods had been unjustly obtained, they were required to give back 20% more than what they had taken. In some instances, the law said they were required to give back double what they had taken. But here we see Zacchaeus tell Jesus that he will give back four times the amount to anyone that he had cheated. This tells us that Zacchaeus was deeply convicted of his sin and truly wanted to walk now in obedience to his new Lord and Master, Jesus. And notice that these good works of Zacchaeus didn't occur before Zacchaeus was saved through his encounter with Jesus, but after he had had an encounter with the Lord. Our good works don't earn our salvation, but they are evidence that our lives have been changed and we are now new creations in Christ. We talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus makes a pronouncement. He says, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Again, we're not told of Zacchaeus saying any kind of sinner's prayer or what actually ever transpired between Jesus and himself, but the evidence of the changed heart and the pronouncement from Jesus tells us that Zacchaeus has turned from his sin and has committed himself to follow God through placing his trust in Jesus. And Jesus announces that Zacchaeus is a true son of Abraham. The religious leaders would not have liked that statement at all. They saw Zacchaeus as a sinner, not belonging to their community of faith. They didn't see how he could possibly be called a son of Abraham. But Zacchaeus was, first of all, a Jewish man by birth, which made him a son of Abraham in at least one sense of the term. But he was now a son of Abraham in another way because he had faith in God, like Abraham. And like Abraham, it had now been credited to him as righteousness. And the same can be said for anyone who will turn from their sin and place their faith in Christ. Jesus said that the Son of Man had come to seek and to save what was lost. That's a wonderful statement for anyone to hear who realizes that they are lost in their sin. According to many scriptures, we're all lost in our sin, dead in our sin, if we choose to live our lives on our own. There's no hope for anyone who continues to live in their sin and refuses to turn for Christ for forgiveness. This is where Zacchaeus was at the beginning of our passage. But after spending time with Jesus, after Jesus singled him out and showed him that he did have value, that he was loved, Zacchaeus' life was changed forever through the love and grace of God. And that same promise is for anyone who will turn from their sin and turn to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. If you would ask the Jewish people if Zacchaeus had any hope for salvation, they would have said no. He was a sinner who had turned his back on his people and his faith. He was lost in their eyes. But Jesus had come to seek and to save what was lost. And now through his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus came to faith in God and committed his life to follow Jesus because he now understood that he was loved, that he had value, and he could now share that same love with those around him. And he did it, didn't he? By giving back to anyone whom he had cheated way more than the law even said he needed to. Think about that. Think of the great witness that was of a changed life through Jesus to the people of Jericho. This man who had cheated them for so long was now giving back over and above what he had taken, all because of his encounter with Jesus, all because he was now following Jesus. His life had been touched by the love and grace of God, and he was forever changed. I hope and pray that that is your testimony as well. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you came, sent your Son to seek and to save what was lost. We were all, Lord, lost in our sin, dead to sin. But now, through faith in your finished work, we are alive in Christ. We've been granted forgiveness and salvation, just like Zacchaeus, Lord. I thank you for the simple little story in your word, Lord, that Luke chose to share with us, that your Holy Spirit inspired him to share with us, Lord. I thank you for the picture of love, mercy, and grace we see in Jesus. Lord, I thank you for showing that same love, mercy, and grace to each one of us here today. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has never repented of their sin and turned to you for forgiveness, Lord, that they would understand how much you love them, and that your Spirit would speak to them right now and draw them to faith in you. I thank you for this picture of your love to Zacchaeus, Lord, and I thank you that that same love is granted to each and every one of us here. Help us then, Lord, as we talked about in our study today, then to show that same love to everyone that you bring across our path, because our lives have indeed been changed. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.